We present Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter Wimsey in Busman's Honeymoon by Dorothy L. Sayers. Adapted for radio in 6 episodes by Alistair Beaton, with Sarah Bedell as Lady Peter Wimsey and Peter Jones as Bunter. Episode 1, The Mysteries of Married Life.
In the county of Hertfordshire, there is a village called Great Pegford. It was in this village that the detective novelist Harriet Vane was born and brought up. It had been her father's ambition to provide his daughter with the best possible education. Harriet's own ambition had been to make enough money to buy a quaint old farmhouse called Tallboys in the next village. Both father's and daughter's ambitions were to be realized. Harriet's education was to take her to Oxford. Her marriage to Lord Peter Wimsey was to take her to the quaint old farmhouse in Hertfordshire. Originally, it was destined to be the couple's weekend cottage. Only at the very last moment had they taken the eccentric decision to make it their honeymoon home as well. Immediate possession had been agreed, and the previous owner, a man called Noakes, had promised to lend his furniture to the happy couple until such time as they had furnished the house according to their own mysterious tastes. He had also promised to wait for their arrival and hand over the keys. But it rapidly became clear that everything was not running according to plan.
I hope Noakes has waited up for us. I don't see any lights on. He may have given us up.
Then we shall firmly hand ourselves back to him. People like you and me, Harriet, are not so easily got rid of. I told him any time after 8 o'clock.
I knew it in my bones, my lord. I should have come on ahead to supervise the arrangements.
Oh, this is all my fault.
Nonsense. Try the back, Bunter. If you can't find anybody there, make for the place where the dog is.
Very good, my lord.
That'll keep Bunter busy for a bit. Do you realize, woman, that I've done it? That I've got you and that you can't get rid of me now, short of death or divorce? Forget Bunter. I don't care a rap whether he goes for the dog or the dog goes for him.
Poor Bunter.
Poor devil. No wedding bells for Bunter, what? Ain't fair, is it? All the kicks for him and all the kisses for me.
Somebody must come sometime, Peter, because if not...
If not? Last night you slept in a goose feather bed, but the goose feather bed and the new wedded lord are inseparable only in ballads. Would you rather wed with the feathers or bed with the goose? I mean the gander. Or would you make shift with the lord in the cold open field?
Well, you wouldn't be stranded in the cold open field if I hadn't been so idiotic in suggesting we come here.
No. And if I hadn't refused Helen's 10 villas on the Riviera. Hooray! Somebody throttled the hound. Well, that's a step in the right direction.
But why didn't
cheer
you
up.
Know,
the
Mrs.
night
Ruggles.
Is yet young. We may even find a goose feather bed in the village pub.
No, listen, it sounds to me as though Bunter has picked up a girlfriend.
No ladies neither. Now then, who are you, and what do you want? Film actress by the look of you, judging by his eyeglass and the lady's furs, and no better than you should be, I'll be bound.
We're very sorry to have disturbed you, Mrs...
Ruddle is my name, Ruddle. Mrs. Ruddle, and a respectable married woman with a grown son of her own. Now then, Mr. Noakes is over at Broxford, and you can't get nothing out of me, for it ain't no business of mine, except that I obliges him in the cleaning way.
Ruddle! I know the name, and I think I remember your face. I am Dr. Vane's daughter, that used to live at Great Pagford. Don't you remember him?
Lord, now, to think of that. Dr. Vane's daughter, Harriet.
Yes.
Oh, well, now I've come to look at you. You have got a look of him. And how are you, miss, after all this time? We did hear as how you'd been in trouble with the police. Oh, but as I said to my son, Bert, you can't believe the stuff they put in them papers.
Well, it was quite true, Mrs. Ruddle, but they'd got hold of the wrong person.
Oh, just like them. There's that Constable Joe Sellon trying to make out as my Bert had been stealing Aggie Twitterton's ends. Ends, I said? You'll be making out next as he took that there pocketbook of Mr. Noakes's, what he made all the fuss about. Call yourself a policeman, I says. I'd make a better policeman than you any day, Joe Sellon. That's what I says to him.
Mrs. Ruddle, if we might proceed.
Oh, well, I'm sure I'm very pleased to see you, miss, looking so well. But if you and the gentleman was wanting Mr. Noakes...
Well, we did want him, but I expect you can help us. This is my husband, and we've bought the house, and we arranged with Mr. Noakes to come here for our honeymoon.
You don't say. Oh, well, I'm sure I congratulate you, miss. Ma'am.
Thank you.
And sir.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Honeymoon. Well, there. Well, it won't take me a minute to put on clean sheets, which is all lying aired and ready at the cottage, so if you'll let me have the keys.
But we do not have the keys, Mrs. Ruddle.
That's just the trouble. Mr. Noakes said he'd make all the preparations and be here to let us in.
Oh, well, he never told me nothing about it. Off to Broxford he was by the 10 o'clock bus Wednesday night.
But if you do his cleaning, haven't you got a key to the house?
No, I have not. You don't catch him giving me no keys. Afraid I'll pinch something, I suppose. Many's the time I've said to Bert, supposing the house was to go on fire with him away and no keys nearer than Pagford.
Pagford? I thought you said he was in Broxford.
So he is. Sleeps over his wireless business. But you'd have a job to get him, I reckon, him being a bit deaf and the bell ringing into the shop. Your best way'll be to run over to Pagford and get them from Aggie Twitterton. That's his niece. She's got a key to the house. Oh, excuse me, ma'am, but what might your married name be?
Lady Peter Whimsey.
Oh, I never. That's what he said. But I didn't pay no heed to him. There's some of them commercial fellows would say anything, wouldn't they, sir?
I beg your pardon?
We all have to pay heed to Bunter. He's the only really reliable person in the party. Now, Mrs. Ruddle, we'll run over and get the keys from Miss Twitterton and be back in 20 minutes. Bunter, you'd better stay here and give Mrs. Ruddle a hand with things.
Very good, my lord.
Is there room to turn round, do you think?
No, my lord. I fancy there is not room to turn. I will open the gate for your lordship.
It really is a great shame to knock you up at this time of night, Miss Twitterton.
It's only 9:45. And nothing, of course, to you. But you know we keep early hours in the country. I have to be up at 5 to feed my hens, so I'm rather an early bird myself. Except on choir practice nights, of course.
We're dreadfully sorry to disturb you. If you could just let us have the keys.
The keys, yes, of course. Oh, so dreadful for you not being able to get in. What Uncle William can have been thinking of, I don't know. He never goes away as a rule without telling me. And as for selling the house without letting me know, well, I don't know what to think. And on your honeymoon, too. Oh, you will take a little bit of cake and a glass of homemade wine.
Oh, really, well, we mustn't trouble you.
I'm sure you'll feel better for a little refreshment. My parsnip wine is really extra good this year.
Oh, well, that's very good of you. May I pour out a glass for yourself, Mr. Twitterton?
Well, it's rather late at night. But I really ought to drink to your wedded happiness, oughtn't I?
Splendid.
Not too much, Lord Peter, please. The dear vicar says my parsnip wine is not nearly so innocent as it looks. Ah, the keys. Now, let me see. Yes, here they are. The big one is the back door, but you'll find that bolted.
Mm-hmm.
The little one is the front door. Oh, perhaps, after all, I ought to come over and show you.
No, not a bit of it, Mr. Ditton. Thank you ever so much. Good night, and many apologies.
Oh, I must apologize for Uncle. I really cannot understand him treating you in this cavalier way. I do hope you'll find everything all right. Mrs. Ruddle is not very intelligent. Still, I'm sure you'll manage.
Oh, I'm sure we shall. And thank you for the parsnip wine.
Yes, it was unforgettable. Goodbye. And this, I presume, is the sitting room.
Yes.
I'm not entirely convinced by the crimson armchairs, but the electric blue plush Chesterfield is most fetching. Where's Mrs. Ruddle?
Gone to clear out the kitchen. Mr. Noakes thoughtfully left his dirty supper dishes behind when he rushed off to Broxford. Oh, Peter, I do wish you could have seen the place before Noakes filled it up with wax fruit and bamboo whatnots and aspidistras.
Shh, never blaspheme the aspidistra. It's very unlucky. Oh, my God, look at that bristling horror suspended over the wireless set.
Some people would pay pounds for a fine cactus like that.
And they must have very little imagination. It's not a plant, it's a... It's a morbid growth.
Oh.
Something lingering happening to your kidneys.
How long did we hire this grisly furniture for?
A month, but we might get rid of it sooner. It's a damn shame spoiling this noble old house with this muck.
I've taken the luggage upstairs, my lord.
Oh, thank you, Bunter. I'm afraid this is making rather a lot of work for you.
It's damn chilly in this house. Any chance of getting a fire going, Bunter?
Most of the chimneys appear to be blocked, my lord.
Chimneys? Chimneys? Oh, they ain't been swept in my memory, and I've lived in that cottage alongside of here 11 years come next Christmas quarter day.
Then it is time that they were, Mrs. Ruddle. Send for the suite tomorrow, Bunter.
Very good, my lord.
Oh, I ain't sure there's a mite of coal in the place. I mean, Mr. Noakes, he hadn't no fires this long time. Said these great chimneys ate up too much of the heat. Oil stoves, that's what Mr. Noakes had.
Very well, Bunter. Heat up some of the turtle soup in an oil stove, and give us the foie gras, the quails in aspic, and a bottle of hock in the kitchen.
Certainly, my lord.
Then get yourself some grub. We'll do our own waiting.
Very well, my lord. Thank you.
And now we want a wash. Did I see a kettle in the kitchen, Mrs. Ruddle?
Yes, m'lady, a beautiful kettle, as hot as hot. Now, I'll run and change these sheets and run a duster over the bedroom and see if I can find a few candles for around the place.
Oh, is there no electricity, Mrs. Ruddle? I thought it was switched off.
Oh, dear me, no. Mr. Noakes don't hold with the electric. Candles, that's what he always uses. It's more economical, I suppose.
Peter?
Yeah?
Peter!
Heart's desire.
Somebody's frying bacon.
Oh, nonsense, people don't fry bacon at dawn.
Dawn? That was 8 by the church clock.
Busy old fool, unruly son. I do a wide right about the bacon. Mm. The smell's coming up quite distinctly. It's through the window, I think. This calls for an investigation. I say, what a gorgeous morning. Are you hungry?
Ravenous.
Unromantic, but reassuring. As a matter of fact, I could do with a large breakfast myself. After all, I work hard for my living. I'll give Bunter a hail.
God's sake, put some clothes on. If Mrs. Ruddle sees you hanging out of the window like that, she'll have 1,000 fits.
It'll be a treat for her. Nothing so desirable as novelty. I expect old man Ruddle went to bed in his boots. Bunter! Damn it, there is the Ruddle woman.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, it's you, my old...
Stop laughing, Harriet, and chuck me my dressing gown. Good morning, Mrs. Ruddle. Tell Bunter we're ready for breakfast, would you?
Yes. Right you are, my lord.
That'll give her something to talk about.
I think talking might be Mrs. Ruddle's strong point. Shall we keep her on, Peter?
Well, I don't see why not. She seems willing enough. Though I fear it may be a sore trial of patience for poor Bunter. But he'll cope. Bunter always copes.
Or what's the matter with this chimney, Mr. Bunter? Is soot.
So we had inferred, Mr. Buffett.
No chimney can't draw when a pot's full of corroded soot like this here chimney pot is. You can't ask it. It ain't reasonable.
I don't ask it. I ask you to get it clear, that's all.
Oh, you've got the sweep, Bunter. That's splendid. We thought we heard something going on.
Yes, m'lady. Mr. Buffett has been good enough to oblige, but I understand that he's encountered some impenetrable obstacle in the upper portion of the chimney.
How kind of you to come, Mr. Puffett. We had a dreadful time last night.
Well, my lady, I'm always willing to oblige. Not but what you'll allow as a chimney what's choked like this chimney is ain't fair to a man nor his rods.
I'm sure you'll manage it somehow, Mr. Puffett. Peter! Peter, darling! The sweep's here!
Oh, frabjous day! I'm coming, my own, my sweep!
What a genius you have for saying the right thing, Harriet. All my life I have waited to hear those exquisite words. Peter, darling, the sweep is here. We are married, by God, we are married. I thought so once, but now I know it. Where is the sweep?
The pair of boots projecting from the fireplace is currently all that is to be seen of him.
He hasn't got stuck, has he?
No, it's the power he's putting behind it. There's corroded soot in the pot or something, which makes it very hard work.
Ah, the sweep emerges.
Puffin is the name. You'll be his lordship, I take it. Hope I sees you well, sir.
Oh, thank you. We are in the pink. But this chimney seems to be a little unwell. Shortness of wind or something?
Oh, there ain't no call to abuse a chimney. The fault's in the pot.
Ah, as I follow you. Even a Tudor chimney winds somewhere safe to pot.
No, that's just it. If we had the Tudor pot now, we'd be all right. But Mr. Noakes, now, he took out some of them Tudor pots and sold them to make sundials.
Sold them to make sundials?
Oh, that's right, m'lady. Catchpenny, I calls it. That's him all over. And these here fiddling modern pots, what he's put on, and ain't no good for a chimney the height and width of this one.
Lord Peter, I do hope I'm not disturbing you.
Oh, not at all, Miss Twitterton.
I felt I must run over and see how you were getting on.
Was nice of you to come. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. Lord Peter, I couldn't help being anxious. I do hope you've passed a comfortable night.
Thank you. Parts of it were excellent.
I always think the bed is the important thing. Where can Uncle be? I'm sure if I'd known... look, there's Frank Crutchley outside. I'm so glad Uncle may have said something to him. Frank comes every Wednesday to do the garden, you know. A most superior young man. I'm sure he could help us. Shall I call him in?
Oh, yes, do have him in.
Frank! Frank! Whatever can have happened? We can't...
You'd better come in, Crutchley.
Right, sir.
Now, Frank would run over to Broxford, I'm sure, and find out what's happened to Uncle. Frank could get a car from the garage. He drives for Mr. Hancock at Padford, you know. I'm sure you won't mind my mentioning it, but if you've bought the house and want someone to do the garden...
He's kept it awfully well. I thought it looked lovely.
But I'm so glad you think so. He works so hard and he's so anxious to get on.
Come in, Crutchley.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, this comes a little unexpected, what?
Well, yes, sir. I see there's trouble with the chimney, too.
It ain't the chimney. I told you that before.
I can't make it out, Frank. Nobody here last night to let anybody in. And Mrs. Ruddle knew nothing. And
yeah, well, let's start from the right end, shall we? Mr. Noakes was here last Wednesday and went off the same night to catch the 10 o'clock bus to Broxford. That was nothing unusual, I gather, but he expected to be back to deal with the matter of our arrival, and you, in fact, expected to find him here today.
That's right, sir.
Is he usually here when you come on Wednesdays?
Well, that depends, sir. Not always.
Oh, Frank, it's Lord Peter Wimsey. You ought to say my lord.
Well, never mind that now.
Some days he's here, some not. If he ain't, I gets the key from Miss Twitterton to come in and wind the clock and see to the pot plants. I did reckon to see him this morning because I had particular business with him.
Did he actually tell you he'd be here?
Yes, my lord. Leastways, he said as he'd let me have back some money I'd put into that business of his, promised it back today.
Oh, Frank, you've been worrying Uncle again. I told you you're just being silly about your money. I know it's quite safe with Uncle.
He said he'd let you have it back this morning. May I ask whether it was any considerable sum?
Matter of £40, as he got me to put into his wireless business.
You see, Lord Peter, Frank's been saving up a long time to start his own garage.
So, wanting the money for the garage, I said, I'll see my money Wednesday, I said, or I'll have the law on you. That's what I said. I went out sharp, and I ain't seen him since.
I see. Well, we'll run over to Broxford presently and hunt the gentleman up. In the meantime, we shall want the garden kept in order, so perhaps you'd better carry on as usual.
Ah, very good, my lord. Shall I come Wednesday, same as before? 5 shillings Mr. Noakes gives me by the day.
I'll give you the same.
Oh, look, Reverend Goodacres at the gate. Perhaps he may know something.
Ah, this is magnificent. I collect vicars, and this is a very well-grown specimen. 6'4" or thereabouts. Short-sighted, smokes a pipe. Oxford, I fancy. About 1890 vintage.
And so you have bought the house, Lord Peter. Dear me, Miss Twitterton, I hope your uncle is not deserting us.
But you don't understand, Mr. Goodacre. It's too dreadful. Uncle never let me know, not a word. He's gone off to Broxford or somewhere and left the house like this. Everything's at 6s and 7s. Mr. Puffett can't get the chimney unlocked.
It's corroded that hard. Good day to you, Vicar. It's corroded that hard. You can't get the rods through.
Mind your back, Vicar.
What a terrible muddle. Oh, and oh, Frank, do be careful where you're going with those stepladders.
I've got to wind the clock and water the plants and the hanging baskets. It can't be done without stepladders. So don't you start complaining, Aggie Twitterton.
This is most trying, most trying. I'm so sorry. If there is anything my wife and I can do, Lady Peter, I do hope you will not hesitate to make use of us.
It's awfully good of you, Mr. Goodacre, but really, we're quite all right.
Soot. Corroded soot. Due to neglect, of course.
Soot? Why, Tom, you do seem to be having a little trouble with Mr. Noakes's, well, I should say, Lord Peter's chimney. What's the matter with it?
Something catastrophic, I gather.
Oh, it's nothing like that. Just soot and neglect.
Well, that's bad. As a friend of mine had sad trouble with corroded soot. But I was able to assist him with an old-fashioned remedy. I wonder now, does Mrs. Ruddle's son, Bert, still have that old shotgun? The one he uses for scaring the birds? Because if so, I believe I can be of some assistance to you, Mr. Puffett.
I say, a splendid museum piece, Padre. Waterlooier, I fancy.
Oh, there's nothing like one of these old duck guns discharged up the chimney for clearing corroded soot.
I don't hold with that, Vicar. It ain't a remedy as I should care to apply. If the rods don't do it, then it's ladders you want, not high explosives.
High explosive? Oh, Mr. Goodacre, are you sure it's quite safe? I'm always very nervous about guns in the house.
I don't hold with it, Vicar. I don't hold with it.
Oh, don't desert us, Mr. Puffett. One can't hurt Mr. Goodacre's feelings.
Have a heart, Puffett.
Well, anything to oblige. Don't say I didn't warn you, my lord.
Well, stand well back, everyone.
Oh, my goodness. Frank, hadn't you better go and help Mr. Goodacre?
No, thank you very much.
It won't bring the chimney down, will it?
No, trust me, there'll be no ill effect. It's simply a question of getting the correct angle, but
ensuring that the sheets afford as much protection as possible to the room.
You're a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
Oh, Frank, I know I shall scream at the noise.
Now, are we all ready? Uh-huh. And... Oh! Oh!
Frank,
help. Oh, Raptor, bountiful Jehovah.
Oh, there, don't you say I didn't warn you. A pretty mess your sitting room's in now. No mistake.
Where's the vicar? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, I'm sure the vicar's been killed.
Now, calm down, Anne.
Are you all right, Mr. Goodacre?
Yes. No need to fuss. I'm all right.
Oh, good.
Oh, a trifle dirty, perhaps, but no bones broken. I trust the ladies were not unduly alarmed by the explosion.
No.
It appears to have been effective.
Remarkably so. Surprising the things you find in old chimneys.
No dead bodies, I trust.
Only ornithological specimens, I fancy. Or dead bats, perhaps. And 8 feet or so of an ancient chain, as formerly worn by the mayors of Paglum.
An old pot chain, very likely.
That's what it'll be. Hung up there on them ledges, as like as not. It belongs to one of the roasting jacks they used to use in the old days. I will say, as you can see the sky, if you look for it, which is more than you could this morning.
Excuse me, my lord. There is an individual at the door inquiring for Mr. Noakes. I've informed him that he's not here, but he refuses to take my word for it.
What sort of an individual, Bunter?
A financial individual, my lord, to judge by his appearance.
Name of Moses?
The name of McBride, my lord.
A distinction without a difference. Well, Bunter, I suppose I should see this financial Scotsman. Show him in. Nothing delights me more than minding other people's business.
Very good, my lord. Judging by his accent, my lord, I would venture to think that the individual in question comes from Whitechapel rather than Scotland. If you would go through, sir.
Ah, Mr. McBride. You didn't send in your card, I fancy.
Well, you see, my business is with Mr. Noakes, personal and confidential.
Well, I'm afraid you've had your journey for nothing. Mr. Noakes ain't here. I only wish he was. But you'll probably find him over at Broxford.
Oh, no, that won't work. Not a bit of it. I've been over to Broxford and they said I should find him here.
Did they indeed? That's right, Crutchley. Sweep up the mess and get the papers cleared, would you? There's a good chap.
Yes, sir.
Said he was here, did they? Then they were mistaken. He is not here and we don't know where he is. I'm sorry about this dust.
Yes, we've had a slight domestic accident with some soot.
Oh, where can he be if he's not over at Broxford? It's most worrying.
Well, now, this is Mr. Noakes' niece, Miss Twitterton. Perhaps you can state your business to her.
Sorry, nothing doing. It's no good trying to put me off because I know all the dodges.
Young man, you'd better keep a civil tongue in your head. You do not suppose that his lordship would tell you an untruth.
That's what you think, Vicar. There's nobody like the British aristocracy to tell you a good stiff lie without batting an eyelid. His lordship's face would be a fortune to him in a witness box.
Where it is not unknown.
So you see, that cock won't fight.
Mr. McBride, who do you represent?
MacDonald and Abrahams, Bedford Row.
Ah, yes, that clannish old North British firm. Solicitors, I thought so. Well, you see, Mr. McBride, you won't find Mr. Noakes in my house.
Your house?
My house. I have just purchased this house from Mr. Noakes.
Bought the house, eh? Paid for it.
Oh, really? Well, naturally, I have paid for it.
Skipped by thunder.
Skipped? What do you mean, my aunt?
Skipped? It's easy for you to say skipped. What about my £40?
Ah, you're another of them, are you? £40, eh? See this? That's a writ, that is. Little matter of £900. It's been running 5 years. My clients can't wait forever, you know.
£900?
Capital and interest.
Oh, it's my uncle's business. There must be some mistake.
Your uncle's business, miss, hasn't got a leg to stand on. Your uncle's broke. That's what he is. Broke.
Given me the slip, the swindling old devil.
Now, steady, steady, Crutchley. Think of Miss Twitterton.
Excuse me, my lord. I'm afraid we have found Mr. Noakes.
Afraid you found him? For God's sake, Bunter. Don't say you found...
Yes, sir. In the cellar.
He's dead. Uncle's dead.
Oh, no, no. They can't mean that.
Oh, no. Impossible.
I am very much afraid so, sir.
What's happened?
I knew it. I knew something terrible had happened. Uncle's dead and all the money's gone.
Here, let's have a look. Down in the cellar, you sir.
Wait a minute. Better not touch anything.
Perhaps we may be able to assist him.
Dead some days from the looks of him.
Has he got the money on him?
Oh, but how did it happen, dear man? Did he fall down the stairs in a fit?
Cut his throat, more likely.
It isn't suicide.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
Oh, Mrs. Ruddle, what on earth's the matter?
Lying there in the cellar, is it all bashed in something shocking?
Oh, no.
Bunter, are you trying to tell us that this is murder?
I couldn't say, my lord. But it looks most unpleasantly like it.
Mm-hmm. In that episode of Busman's Honeymoon, the parts were played as follows. Lord Peter Wimsey, Ian Carmichael, Lady Peter Wimsey, Sarah Bedell, Bunter, Peter Jones. Miss Twitterton, Rosemary Leach, Mrs. Ruddle, Pearl Hackney, Mr. Puffett, Michael Ripper, the Reverend Goodacre, Gerald Sim, Frank Crutchley, Kenneth Cranham, McBride, Roger Lloyd Pack, narrator, John Westbrook. Busman's Honeymoon was adapted by Alistair Beaton from the book by Dorothy L. Sayers and was produced by Martin Fisher.